a lot of some of the stuff that I've worked through, and it was really interesting. Like his view around control and stuff of kids, and expecting his kids, if he has kids, to be in, to look after him when he's older, and live him to live in their house. It just triggered all sorts of stuff in me. It was really interesting watch it happen. And also what we discussed in the coaching call on Monday, Connie, all about control, all about power. Mm. I feel that I see power differently now, and I see other people seeing it, and I'm like, no, this is not how it should work.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. So we'll just see. I don't know. Whatever's supposed to happen is supposed to happen. And then I was reading last night into Gemini, like the Gemini new moon, and I was listening a bit about that and the fact that it's kind of sometimes drives polarities in communication. And I'm like, oh, this all makes sense.
Well, it is quite, yeah, there is quite a lot of polarity in Gemini. I've got the two sort of sides to one energy. So,
Yeah, so it's been interesting. And then I bought a camper van on Wednesday, and I sold a house in the UK. So it's been like a huge week.
Wow, nice. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Like just stepping into me and who I've discovered, who I really am on this course. So it's been really exciting. And just buying something and just going, I don't really care what anyone else thinks. I'm just going to do it because I want to do it.
That's right for you. Love it. Mm, we're going to have lots to talk about today, I think. Hey, Brigida, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Happy to be here. I think it's kind of dark. I'll be right back. I'm going to do something with my lighting.
No, I mean, you look all right to me, but what if you do
is wrap it right back. Hold on. I think I'm just going to turn on this light.
I'm hoping, I'm hoping the recording
probably won't make any difference whatsoever. It's a little
bit. How's he coming on today?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I missed that. What did you just say, honey? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just asking how you're feeling as you're coming on.
Today I feel good. We golfed today, my husband and I. That's my post with me in the mask and the sunglasses and the visor. Nobody can recognize me. It's hilarious. I look ridiculous. Definitely check that out. Yeah, we golfed. It was really fun. It's been really nice just to be able to get out and do things like that. We still can't go to restaurants. We still can't do a lot, but that was really cool. So we did that, and then we reshot my video for my website today, and that's done. So I feel relieved. I just feel like, oh, good, that's behind me, because I always build up pressure for myself when I have to do those sorts of things, because it's on the website, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
You know, it's important. So, but I was, the good thing is I didn't get all over myself with how I look, because that's really easy for me to go there, just to just see all the things that I don't like. And so both videos, the one that I didn't use and the one that we filmed today, I was able just to say, look, if people have an issue with that, then they're not supposed to work with me anyway. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. Right. So, so that's good. That's that to me, I feel is a really good step forward for me. Just personally, a personal growth step. It's a big deal for me to be able to just say, you don't love it, but that's okay. It's your job to put it out there. That's it.
It's always us that sees all, no one else. I mean, the people who we're wanting to bring our work to anyway, aren't looking at it through the lens of perfect and is their hair right and how much you should say. They're just wanting to feel the message, you know? It's us that get so caught up in how it looks.
Absolutely. And I just kept, and that this whole year has been, I think it started last year with the Creators Mastermind that I did with you. But this year too, it's been, you know what? Put that aside. You got to show up for people. This is your thing. If they have an issue with that, and you're right, they don't. Because if they do, they're not going to show up. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And it's actually, you know, the more we be ourselves, the more we weed out people who aren't in alignment with us. So it's actually good. Yeah. Like, just keep being you, and people who don't fall away, and you'll call in more people who are in alignment.
Yeah, I can feel that, actually, because the more and more I've been doing it, the more I've been getting comfortable on camera with all the lives and things that I've been doing. And more people are coming in. So so that's a pretty huge step actually for me. So that's been really nice to just sort of see that arc. And I didn't stop myself with that. I just kind of, I didn't know, not too many bad steps backwards at all, actually. I just kept plodding, which I think is also for me, very positive. Feels good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it. Beautiful.
Yeah, so, yeah.
How are you? I can see you coming on. Let me unmute you. How are you, love?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. I just woke up.
Perfect.
Yeah, I feel much more chill. And I think after last session, I feel like I've been putting too much burden on myself. Mm-hmm. And now I just feel more relaxed and trying to figure out how can I communicate with people in a way that I want to be treated. And also, I feel like just see myself in the video, record myself in a video, I can kind of see the person I want to present and how open I become along the way.
Mm. Yeah, beautifully said.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. We'll have a lot to dive into today, but I just wanted to see where you're all at as we're coming on the call. And you all sound in a pretty good kind of space. I mean, as always, we always have things we're navigating, but yeah, I'm really proud of all of you where you're at just within yourselves at this point of the program. So it's beautiful. Okay, well, the way we're going to run today is the way we run the calls normally. What I'm going to get each of you to do, we'll go around and just share something. I mean, you sort of maybe have shared some of it already, but something you want to celebrate, something positive, a shift that you felt in yourself over the past month, or something you're practicing that's going well, or just something you want to celebrate and share that's on a, a positive note. We'll give everyone a chance to go around and do that. And then we'll go around again and you can open up and get support on whatever's coming up, an area that you're wanting to dive deeper into, get coaching support on, get some feedback from the other women and get some help with. So we will roll in that fashion. All right, let's begin. Who would like to go first in just sharing something you want to celebrate, something positive, something that has gone well, has changed, has shifted, that you're feeling good about?
I can start. Cool. So for me this past month, it's been just this feeling of stepping into my power that I've never necessarily felt before. And in the sense of, I noticed myself a lot of times I'm waiting to do something good for myself when my friends, the people around me, are also doing the same good thing. And that way we shift up together. And I don't like to shift up if the people around me aren't shifting up. And in a lot of ways that would hold me back, because sometimes there's maybe an improvement I can make that the people that I'm close around me aren't ready to make, that I wouldn't make because they're not making it, whether that's because they can't or because they don't want to. One example was, I've been in New York City for the past month and I'm glad I stayed there for as long as I did, but I've been feeling like just super stuck there. And my family lives on the West Coast and it was possible for me to come here, but I have a couple of good friends there in New York who either their families live abroad or they just decided to stick it through in New York. I'm like, well, I have to stick it through here too. They're not going, so I'm going to just torture myself and be here too. When it's why not just do what's good for me? And this is what feels right for me. And that's what feels best for me. So there's just this element of me not looking at what other people are doing and not feeling bad if doing something good for me takes me away from people or separates me. Cause I think that was the fear, is I'm going to be I'm not going to be on the same, it's not even level, but it's just same, frequency or something. So we may not talk as much anymore. We may not, whatever it is. And in that line, I just feel like I want more movement in terms of I'm going to learn to drive finally, which I've never learned before, or have, but I don't really know. So this is a perfect time for me to learn finally how to get my license and learn to drive, because I have my parents and they can teach me. So I just focused on me and looked inside what would be good for me. And it just feels like I let the things fall that just weren't working. And I'm just very specifically choosing things for me that maybe don't make sense to anyone else around me, but just make a lot of sense to me. And that just, it feels really good. Feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's such a thing that comes up for us on the path of growth, is that fear of leaving people behind or losing connection, or falling out of alignment, or feeling different now to people if we're changing and growing. So we want to bring everyone with us. But it's like what we were just saying before, the more you be yourself and follow that inner impulse and trust that the people who are meant to come with you will come with you sometimes. Yeah. do shift and change a little bit as you're navigating your growth process. But ultimately, the way that we lift people up is through just being it, just being the example. And that inspires people in their own time to come on the journey, or otherwise they just go, you know what, we're different.
Yeah, exactly.
Find a way to do it.
Yeah. I think that's what I realized is you don't need to teach someone necessarily, just do it. And that gives them the space to do it too, if they want to as well. And that's the best. And that takes the pressure off of you of trying to be this like coach or with your friends or family, and instead just like do it. And then if they see an example, if they want to, then they'll step into it. Or if not, then they have something else. And so I just, it feels just like I'm letting go of this like pressure. And then also just finally, again, just doing what really feels right for me. Which just feels freeing.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm, thank you. That's an awesome share.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I'm actually very similar to Stefania, and I think the last month I've really reconnected with actually who I am, and taking, I'm nowhere near perfect, but I'm taking so much more time to reflect and slow down. And like last Sunday, I didn't open my laptop once, which was amazing. And I'll go and sit and journal and just really feel into really who I am and what I want. And I'm becoming really not scared to admit it. And that's really where I want to be being. And it's actually really exciting what's opening up, I guess. Like, yes, I still, like, there's still things I need to stay within that, it's pretty funny. Like as I said, I sold my house on Friday and my mum's going, oh my God, Charlotte, don't go and do something stupid. And I'm like, I'm not going to go and do something stupid. This is ridiculous. But it's funny because she thinks that, I think she was just joking. But anyway, but I feel that I can really make on this, like buying this camper van. I was like, Charlotte, go with your gut feel about this. And so I only saw this camper van on Sunday night, and then I went and saw it on Tuesday, and I bought it. I haven't finally bought it yet, but I've like paid a deposit on Wednesday, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so exciting. But I just feel that I'm learning to be unashamedly me. And I think I was being pretty good, but I'm doing it in a completely different way. And that's now where I really want to then discover myself on an Instagram with my business. And I haven't yet stepped into that person, but I feel I'm getting ready to step into that person. And I always used to struggle with kind of, you know, what like the whole target market was and things. And now I really find I'm authentically finding where I want my place to be. And just unashamedly stepping into my power and knowing that I can do it. So no, it's been really, really exciting, and just letting go of what my parents think of me and what other people think of me. And I'm just, going to do it, really.
So good. And that, like, that foundation you're building in yourself, which, you know, the way you're describing it feels so solid and so connected and just so much deeper. Then how that flows into your business, and then how that flows into how you show up in relationships, becomes so much more effortless, you know, because I can relate to then going into relationship or business and being, then I'm thinking, okay, what's the most authentic version of me here? And then how should I, you know, once you're really anchored in it, the thinking kind of disappears, and it just feels so natural and effortless to bring that energy into your work, your, you know, how you market yourself, how you show up on a date, it becomes natural. So I think the deeper you're anchoring that in yourself, it's going to feel a lot more effortless in how it flows out around you in your life too.
That's probably really true. It's the really, like, it's an effort to get the thinking out of it sometimes. Like, I really have to drop in, but that's probably what I've done a lot more. And I'm just trying to be, even yesterday, like, even if it creates opposition, unashamedly me.
Yeah, amazing. I love it. I love that, just that statement for you feels really strong when you're like, all right, what would being unashamedly me look like in this moment? All right, let me do that.
Exactly. Well, I think I look back so much on, I was speaking with a friend on Friday, to my childhood, like 20 something self, the teen something self. And I used to wear black clothing all the time. I was quite shy. And it's because I didn't know who I was. I was just like,
yeah.
I didn't know who I was. I was scared to be who I really wanted to be. And like seeing that and feeling the pain that younger person of me had felt, like, I don't want that. Like, I don't want that for anyone. And yeah, you can turn things around.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I can see the radiance in your face in the ownership of all of that. So thank you for sharing. It's really powerful. Who would like to go next?
I can go next.
Okay,
listen to you guys talking about the progress. I feel like we are becoming more powerful. Mm. So I think, like, when we are, like, oh, I remember seeing, like, Charlotte posted a photo, like, about the reflection around the classes. It's like we are discovering and returning. I also feel like that way. We are trying to find out the person when we are born. So, and I felt that because I feel like a lot of the time, like I'm currently taking acting classes. When in the acting classes, I felt I just become more open and I'm really just having fun in that. I realized when I'm in my childhood, I really like watching drama. And after I watch drama, I just want to play that character by myself. So like, I think when I'm doing something that I enjoy at a very young age, I feel more connected to where I'm actually at. So I think that's kind of the way to figure out what I want to do. Yeah.
Oh, you just said that so beautifully when you were talking about that at the start, this sort of returning to ourselves. I was like, oh, I just had all these shivers. I'm seeing that so much happen in you as you're kind of peeling back different layers and feeling more comfortable with yourself and therefore feeling more open to be yourself. And yeah, knowing what those things are that allow you to feel that way and continue to come back to those. It's so powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the more we are authentic about who we actually are, the more powerful my instinct tell me we are.
Yes, yes, yes. And then you realize it's actually, your truth is always so clear. It's not diluted and watered down by other people's opinions and who you think you should be and what's the right thing to do. Once you get rid of all of that, you've got this such a clear connection now to your instinct, as you said, and it's always really clear for you what the right thing is to do. Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Brigitte, off you go, my love.
There we go. Hi. Yeah, I'm loving all of this, and I loved the and I think I posted the question, what would my authentic self do right now versus the pre-programmed person? Because there's so much of that programming. And I thought it was like two things happened that I think are really like, ah, there it is. So one of the ways I know I'm going with old stuff is if I start eating weirdly, like going off on, I don't mean being bad. I don't mean like diety kind of stuff. I'm just saying like eating when I'm not hungry or too fast, or I can tell, for me, that's a real signal as to something's being triggered or not, or something's going on and I'm just sort of unconsciously just cruising into what feels comfortable. And sometimes, I mean, it's just been interesting to see, and this has only just started happening, where I've been really honoring that and saying, okay, stop. You can still use that pattern, but let's figure out why it's being triggered. So I'm not taking it away yet necessarily, though I've been able to say, okay, that's not what you need. You know, and kind of going back to that, what's really going on? What's happening? What do I need? Because, you know, that's not going to, it works a little bit, but not a lot, right? And the other thing was this whole video. So the first video I wanted to do in my friend's garden, because it's really beautiful. And for me, I just wanted to be me sitting talking, no different than this. The guy who is also a friend of ours, who's a professional cameraman, wanted to do a walk and talk. And because he said talking heads are boring. And I was like, okay, I trust him. So what we got the first time was this beautiful video, and it was super distracting because it was me walking through this beautiful garden, but I'm more interested in the garden and all the leaves than I am at what I'm saying. And as you said, it's all about getting that. It's really only just about my message. That's all it is. And so when we re-recorded it today, and of course my husband and I did it, so that's always tricky. Right. So, but he's really supportive. I said what I wanted, and we figured it out and we did it successfully. And it's pretty much me. I'm pretty much the same in both videos, but it's just like completely different. It's because I said, no, this is what I want, you know? And even he was trying to suggest, well, try this or try this. I was like, no, that's what I want. And it wasn't control freakish at all. It was like, I know what I want. And I think that those two things are working hand in hand, and they're kind of really clear. But the good thing about the video is it's tangible. I can see it. It's right there. Yeah. So that's been really interesting. to see.
And you almost got instant feedback in that moment of like, you knew kind of what felt right to you, but then you got both examples. How does the video turn out if I'm really following what feels right to me, or if I'm following his direction? Here's my instant feedback. And it's like, yeah, I need more time, what I want.
Yeah, and I mean, both my husband and I were like, if you just sat still in the freaking garden, you would have, it was perfect. His camera work is beautiful. It's just, you don't need all this other stuff, but he's a cameraman. He likes to make things pretty. That's their job, you know.
What's really nice about that example too, is you were actually very open in that moment, because sometimes what can happen, if we're really locked in our truth, we can become a bit rigid. I'm like, no, I know this is how I want to do it, and this is how we're going to do it. If you're really open, you're like, okay, we can try your way. Let's do it and flow with that. And then let's do it the way I want to do it and flow with that. That's a really beautiful way to do it. So you're not shutting off other people's truth. You're staying open, but you still are really honoring what's right for you.
Yeah, that's really well put. Exactly. Because he, you know, and again, he's a professional. I have no reason not to take his thoughts on it. This is what he does for a living. But so does my husband. He's an acting teacher. So Kathy, my husband's an acting teacher. I'm loving hearing about the acting. And so he does this too for a living. So, you know, it was, and you're right. It was like instant feedback. As soon as I got that video, I watched it. I was like, oh no, this is not going to work. Good. And then today we did it. We're like, yep, done. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Beautiful. Oh, so good. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, it's literally just like tingles of joy listening to you talk. It's so good. Okay. So you might have already come onto the call knowing what you're wanting support with today. And if you do, just feel into that and what you would like to talk out, get help with, get some tools on, clarify in yourself, and just get some support with to help you, knowing that this is our last coaching call. So to help you perhaps in moving forward, or to help you in, you know, just integrating everything we've been working on, you'll know kind of what's coming up for you coming into the call. But if anyone's clear on that and they're ready to get going, whoever wants to start, just let me know and we can dive on in.
I don't mind going first.
Off you go.
So as I said to you this week, well, this month I've been foraying into dating. I was like, right, let's just start playing in this and experimenting to see what happens. And then last Sunday I went on the most amazing date. It was like, I met this person and with this guy, and we ended up basically chatting for 4 hours and walking 17 kilometers or something ridiculous. And it was also, it was really nice. And then we got takeaway on Tuesday and like chatted for literally 7 hours until far too late in the morning. So I then felt dreadful all week, but that's beside the point. But it was actually really nice, because we were talking on Monday night about saying we treat people how to teach us. And he was saying exactly that. It felt like he was just saying all of these things out of all of the coaching calls that we've had, and it was really interesting. I was like, oh, hang on a minute, I can have what I want and what I'm teaching and stepping into this new self. And I was really trying to take a step back and be open to different people, and different people are coming from different places, and not to be so judgmental. And then yesterday we had this date, and it was really, I just felt like I was just in Trigger City since the moment I walked in. And as I said a lot before, there was a lot about control, like he like wants to have control. He thinks the view of growing up his kids is to basically teach what we, Stefania, you were just saying, teaching people, not demonstrating with how you be being. And honestly, I think it was a lot of the wounds that I've had and I've worked on, it was just triggering me to high heaven. And I think maybe there was probably me not listening in there, but I guess, I don't know, that I was just trying to feel into it this morning. And it was more, I think, more about maybe me learning to soften, to let other people in, mm-hmm. and how to really do that. And sometimes these things, there may be, that may be coming up from limiting beliefs around him that when he works on are going to change in the future. So I shouldn't really judge people based on some of these things right now. But I think there's a whole, I've been single for a long time and I value my independence. I'm kind of staunch in my views because I've done all this work on myself. Yeah. But I don't think that's necessarily it can make me very prickly.
Yeah. Because that's when you were talking about getting triggered, what I immediately felt was closure, because that's typically what happens when we're triggered.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, because as I was asking myself earlier, like, what do I want? I was trying to ask myself journaling earlier, what do I want help on? First of all, I wrote down help. And then first of all, second of all, I said, and I pulled a tarot card yesterday about letting people help you, which is funny as well.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So, and then the second thing was about opening my heart, because I think that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, so triggering, I mean, the closure happens for two reasons with triggering. One, because it brings up some type of uncomfortable emotion for us, or some inner process that is uncomfortable. And so part of us doesn't want to feel that. But triggering, I've noticed, also causes closure, because it allows us to make almost the other person wrong, and allows us to justify continue to separating from that person. Like, maybe the dialogue's even starting, I don't know if this guy's quite right for me, we're not a fit, and we start to use it as a reason to close and distance.
Yeah, because I also think there's an element in me where it's kind of a bit of an F you, Charlotte, like, you don't deserve to have someone, like, because it's not necessarily that, but I think there is this fear, because it makes my, like, these things, it's totally taken over my entire week, well, as with other things.
Yeah.
I think there is an element of that in there in a way as well, so which makes sense based on what you just said.
Yeah. And so, as you so beautifully said, the work here is opening and softening, like staying open, particularly in these early days, if there's triggers happening, if there's inner reactions going on, if there's judgments coming up, if there's part of you wanting to close. It reminds me a lot of my early day experiences with Jason as well, that there was a lot of things that came up that in my mind I was like, oh, this doesn't fit, this isn't in alignment, this doesn't feel good. But you're right, people grow and evolve together, and a lot of those things can figure themselves out with time. So for you, what would opening and softening in this situation look like, or in this dynamic where you're getting triggered with him?
I guess just learning to listen to him and not just being oppositional about it.
Yeah.
And I guess it's really about learning to be with someone.
Yeah.
But I guess it just makes me feel, I think it just makes me feel really vulnerable, because I know, like, I think I recognize some of the stuff that I've had to work so hard to get through. And I think I get so scared that I'm going to go back on myself, if you know that side of things. That's what really freaks. That's what I think I get so scared at, because I don't want to go back. I feel like I'm in such a good place now. I don't want to go back.
Okay. So there's sometimes that opening up to his energy or his views might take you back. Is that what's coming up?
Yeah, and I think actually it's not even that. It's, and this is maybe a bit far-fetched, but I really want to have children, and I'm so conscious that I don't want to make my kids go through the shit that I've had to go through to get to where I am now. And that's maybe why I just get so opposed to it, because I see these people's views that are views that have really hurt me in my life, or I've perceived that.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like my whole nutritional therapy business that I have is all around the real why behind it, is so I can give kids a life that I couldn't have, because I had to give up so much of my life because of my disease. And I want to help every future child out there to not have that for themselves. And this exact, I didn't really realize the same thing here. Like, I don't want to be with someone who has these controlling views that are going to really affect my children, and then give them a whole load of shit that they've got to go and work through, like what I'm still working through. I'm very grateful to have it, but it's been hard.
Mm. And so, like, right now in this moment, you're really in your, I feel your passionate feminine heart. I feel your desire for what you want to create for your children. And that is so beautiful. And maybe being in dynamic with this guy has clarified that even more for you, because you're seeing even more clearly what you want. Now, there's two ways to kind of handle that. One could be to then come at him from an oppositional energy, like you mentioned, which is, let's get into a debate, or I'm going to close off because I don't agree, or I'm going to prove my point to you. Versus actually when you come into your heart, there's a very beautiful, raw desire there for what you want to create for your family. And I think when you can drop into that and just own that, and maybe I feel like there's still quite a bit of emotional charge behind it. So maybe there's some just processing some emotion around that too, that's still there around the heartache of not having that for yourself, or what you missed out on and how it impacted your journey growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But actually coming into to dating, particularly as, you know, as we get a bit older, we're allowed to really own what's important to us and communicate that to people. And that can just be, once some of the emotions neutralized around it for you, is like, you know, here's what's really important for me to create for my children, because this is what I experienced and I'm now really passionate about this. And the right person will be like, oh my God, like, look, when you said it to me, like, my heart cracked open. I was like, oh my God, I really feel that. So that's a, you're allowed to bring that desire in when you're meeting new people, and have, doesn't have to be oppositional debating conversations, but just share very openly from your heart what you're wanting to create for a family and why that's important to you.
Yeah, and actually I didn't even realize that was where it was coming from until I just shared it now. So it's actually really nice to identify, and I'm not like, I was in a way last night going to text him going, sorry, I think you got the wrong side of me today. And it actually really wasn't the wrong side of me. Like, it was me. And there's, like, I don't want to go back into the excusing and just falling, doing everything I can to fall into someone else's box. Cause that's not, but owning and understanding really why I was like that.
Yeah.
But I guess what I really struggle to understand sometimes, and I guess you've just got to open your heart and feel, is where is something a boundary? Where is something that, you know, if someone has a differing view on something, I think I really, like my previous relationships when I was younger, like I used to just scared to disagree on anything.
Yeah.
But now I guess it's just working with that and understanding where is a firm boundary versus where's something that you're willing to explore. But I guess if you understand what their bigger why is, perhaps maybe it's not as a bigger worry.
Mm. And maybe this is going to, maybe you want to explore this a little bit before you continue dating with him or dating someone, is actually what is almost a non-negotiable for you in what you want to create in a family, or what you want to, how you want to raise your children, or what's important, or your own values. And then what are those areas where you are willing to be a little bit flexible and compromise and, you know, work in with someone. And this is really important when you are moving forward dating and you're actually wanting to meet someone who you really want to build a life with and build a family with. You do want to know that you have similar values. And that's part of dating, is sort of part of just like finding out about each other and being like, okay, are we a match? So you sharing your views doesn't have to be about, yeah, either making him wrong or I know our fear is to create conflict or be difficult, but it's actually just a beautiful, you know, you want him to know what your values and beliefs are and you want to know his. And then as you're getting to know each other, you can see if they're going to work together. And then at some point you might recognize they're not going to, or at some point you might realize the more that you share with him, the more open he becomes to working with you on it. But until we fully own what we want and have the courage to express it, we're not going to know whether the other person can hold us in that or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely really worth exploring. And I think I wanted to write down from, I think it was maybe a John Wynan thing I listened to or something, about really writing down everything that I want in a partner. There's still a page in my old journal where I haven't done it yet, so I need to go and do it. But I think, no, that definitely makes sense. And I think sometimes it's learning that things don't always have to be rosy, and that there's often a deeper reason behind why what I've just learned for myself around why I was behaving.
Wouldn't we rather things be real rather than rosy, you know? Like,
that's what I'm so scared of now, is things, I'm so passionate about things being real, but that kind of makes me just back off. And I don't think I necessarily know, because I've been so scared of conflict in my past. I'm so scared of, it's not conflict, it's the wrong word, but debate.
Is there, I'm just wondering if we can find another word, because both conflict and debate are quite strong. Can there be another word or another way of explaining this that doesn't feel sort of as combative?
Well, I guess it's about dancing an opinion, right?
Sharing your truth.
Mm.
Expressing what's important to you.
It's playing in a way.
I wonder, that's nice actually. I wonder if we could drop an energy of playfulness into that, that would just soften it even more.
Yeah, because that's what it is. It's dancing and understanding different people. Yeah. And different people will change their views based on what other people share as well.
Mm. And getting curious to people, you know, if people do share their opinions and initially were like, I don't agree with that, even just asking questions like, oh, I'm curious, like, why is this so important to you? And, you know, is that something you're open to being flexible on? Would you work with someone on that? Like, how do you feel about this? Actually just being open to exploring more about it and getting curious to see how they respond when you're like, how about this? Would you be open to that?
Mm, so maybe like playful curiosity.
Yes. Playful curiosity is such a beautiful energy to bring.
And it's so much lighter.
So much lighter.
And I think I have the... I used to be set very... I'm still quite serious. I'm very serious. So I think sometimes I'm like, right, this is what I want. And
Yeah. Something I've... Like Jason and I debate all the time. We're constantly debating. He's very opinionated, as am I. But I've learned the more that I bring in laughter, it just takes this serious like energy out of it and just makes it more like, oh, this is interesting. This is funny. Oh, that's your view on it. Well, this is my view on it. And very often I'm like, okay, you believe what you want to believe. I totally don't mind, but here's what I believe. And it's just a really lighthearted way of sharing our truth and our opinions without it needing to cause a conflict.
Otherwise it can get boring, right? You don't want to have the same opinion.
Oh, totally. And it's also about that openness of sometimes, even if I think I initially disagree, if I actually stay open, there might be something for me to gain or learn. So keeping that open energy, but also knowing yourself enough at times to be like, I appreciate your opinion on that, but that's not my truth in this situation. Also being able to know when there's an area that's just like a non-negotiable for you.
Mm. Yeah, but I think I need to learn to do it in a different way to what I was being yesterday.
Yeah, but all I would say is just play in this space. Just play.
Like, I'm allowed to be in my truth. So
look, any self-judgment, like, and just play in this space of spending time with the masculine and getting to know this different person and exploring different parts of yourself.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, exactly. I like that word, play, and bringing that to it and just really dropping into that softer, less oppositional energy. Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for sharing. Mm. Who would like to go next?
I feel very inspired when we heard the word play, because I feel like I'm always struggling to like think out loud to let people know how I think about things. And sometimes if I find out my opinion are different from others, I just prefer to be silent, because every time if I say something like disagree with others, usually it sounds a bit assertive and I'm not quite sure how can I soften that down. So I think the area I want to explore more is about how can I let others know what's important to me, and without making it sound too serious, but it must be kind of serious. Like you say it in a soft way, but like it helps others to actually take that seriously, even if the conversation is not quite strong mm-hmm. and aggressive.
Yeah. So you feel like you'll be taken more seriously if you're assertive?
Yeah, sometimes it can be that, because of the culture as well. Like sometimes I say things, I translate from Chinese to English, and it sounds like a bit awkward and a bit strong sometimes. I can feel that sometimes in a group conversation, if I want to add on something, if I want to jump in and say something different, I can feel like we communicate, we say things in slightly different way.
Okay. Yeah. And when you, I'm just curious, when you step into more of that strong, assertive energy, how do you notice people respond?
I just feel like people suddenly like froze. Like that expression is like, you just go like that. And I can feel like, yeah, I mean, I can communicate that in a different way, or maybe just articulate things like more specifically.
Look, if you were to look at your journey throughout this program,
you
see it in yourself and I see it in you. There's a beautiful softening, there's an opening, there's more of a playfulness in how you express yourself.
Yeah.
What's allowed you to start to communicate more from that space in this environment? What's helped you?
I don't know, maybe I just feel more comfortable speaking in front of females because I think they understand my emotion.
Mm.
Like say, for example, like if I talk about this in front of a group of men, they probably feel not actually if you're able to hold my energy. So when I'm thinking, maybe they won't understand what I'm talking about. I don't understand their jokes, their sense of humor. I just feel I'm more closed. I'm not really open to share. But now I just feel like maybe like next time when I talk about things I don't understand, I just tell them I don't understand.
We talked about this in our last session. What I'm feeling is when you're around the masculine, you feel like you need to be in a stronger, more assertive energy and almost to match them, right?
Yeah.
If that happens, then it feels a bit jarring to you because it doesn't really feel like you, and they're like, doesn't really feel like you to them either. So I know this feels like a more vulnerable space and more like there's more risk, like will they understand me and are they open to my feminine? But I wonder if you brought more of just what feels really natural to you, might be received more naturally as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it's also, I kind of want to lead the person I want to be instead of trying to fit in into an environment that I think I should become.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lyra, if you were to describe to me about the woman that you want to be in that workplace that really feels like you and is going to make you proud of who you're being there.
Yeah. And the interesting thing I found is that before, like when I was in uni, people talk about, like the company talks about like gender equality, it just makes me feel like women are high because to match the quota. Just make me feel a bit uncomfortable. And I also feel like there's not like a particular need to talk about that. But once I join the firm, if people around me are with strong masculine energy, I can kind of feel like this is kind of an issue that worth mentioning about.
Yeah.
And I want to make them more feel like I got hired not because to meet the requirement of the company, it's just because we're naturally good.
Yeah. Do you believe that to be true? Do you feel that?
Yeah. I think just women just are more good at connecting with people because they try to understand each other and they listen.
So if you were to walk through the office with that belief, because you know they needed to have more women, I'm here because I'm amazing at what I do, because I have so many gifts and talents naturally as a woman that men don't really have, that empathy, that communication style, that different way of connecting. That's like my superpower here as a woman. If you were to walk through there, that creates a different level of confidence, not a confidence because I've got to appear strong to match these men, but because I have something these men don't have, and that's incredibly powerful. And when I value that, then they're going to value it too. But if we continue as women to minimize ourselves in those environments and feel like now we need to become like a man, we're never really going to be able to show men what we're capable of as a woman. Thinking of women just need to be like us and act like us, and we're like, no, we've got this whole other like power that you guys don't have.
Yeah. And then I remember on Friday, like, because I kind of work hard along the way, and then my manager said I think you are a trooper. I don't actually like that word, to be honest. I mean, but I seriously don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah,
I know he's probably trying to compliment me, but like the way he say things, just like, I think very funny. I think
Well, look, you've obviously got a lot of very masculine-minded men in there who maybe don't have much experience with how to relate to or work with the feminine. So
yeah,
I think the more, you know, we've talked about this with you too, the more that you're communicating, expressing actually what you need, you know, I think it's not that they don't want to connect with you in, you know, with you in your feminine. Maybe they just don't know how to.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well. They're trying to help me, but like, they just don't know how to, and I don't know how to either.
Well, this is part of you sort of almost teaching them and letting them know what you need. This happens in relationships all the time when a man may not understand his woman and what's going on for her. If she's emotional, if she's on her period, if she's feeling sensitive, he's like, what the hell do I do with her? But until we tell them, if we tell them what we need, then they can come and do it for us. It's much easier for the masculine to have sort of instructions and steps to follow versus just seeing a woman and being like, I don't know what to do with her, you know? So actually the more you're saying, this is what I need to feel supported, this is how I need the information, you know, explained to me, or the more you communicate that to them, the more they're going to be able to understand you and know how to support you.
Yeah, I think that too. And sometimes I feel like people who have like a family, maybe like a man who have a wife, doesn't necessarily know how to like communicate that with female in the workplace, right? I think that's something that I find interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I personally haven't been in a masculine workplace in a long time to kind of have a reference point for it. But this is just, you know, years and years of stuff that we're navigating as women is how to feel really feminine in a very masculine patriarchal society, right? Where it's programmed into us that we almost need to be like men to be successful, and being in a masculine energy is a more powerful, effective way to be. So we're still breaking that down. But you have a beautiful role to play in this organization, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah. And so walking in every day with that knowing and that power in your body, like you hold yourself differently, you radiate a different energy, you know you deserve to be there, and you're just on this beautiful journey of continuing to act from your feminine, not from your masculine, and teaching these men what you need in the workplace dynamic as a woman. Yeah
I think it's about being more confident, being more like being more self-worth.
Yes.
Like know the value about myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the less that you know, try to be who you think you should be, and the more you be you, the more you'll start to feel that confidence, and you'll see the value in what makes you uniquely you.
Yeah. That's powerful. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for sharing. You've been on such an amazing journey around that. It's been really beautiful to watch. Thank you. Awesome. Who would like to go next?
I guess I'll go. That was amazing. So I think I just kind of actually want to continue. Well, okay. There's been a couple of really, like yesterday was an example with my husband. We're trying to get him up to speed with social media. And trust me, that's like, this is not, and I'm not, it's just like, So I was getting very frustrated. And typically I shut down in that moment. And again, we've been married for over 20 years. So we are pretty, we have our grooves, but the thing is we've been on isolation. So we've been really having to deal with each other, and it's been really great. And we've been back in therapy together. It's been just making us better. It's been, and one thing he had to learn, which is going right to what you just talked about, Kathy, he said, like, I was talking with my therapist, we were together, the three of us, I was saying something, and he just said, I feel like you guys are speaking a language I've never heard of in my life. Like, you guys took a course in college that I never took.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, really? And because he's so empathetic and emotional and all these things, but communicating is very different. So that's been beautiful for both of us to kind of see, oh, okay, he's in masculine, I'm in feminine. Okay, here's what we need to do for each other. That's been really cool. And so yesterday when I got frustrated, rather than doing my usual, I just said, I'm mad. And I left the room and I went into my bathroom and I just took a few deep breaths and was like, what do you need right now? you know, what do you need? And yes, we're frustrated, but what do you need? And there wasn't really anything I needed other than a few moments alone, taking a few deep breaths. And then when I came out, it was like, well, why are you mad? You know, so we could talk more like genuinely, like, this is frustrating because normally I'm a pretty good teacher. So why are we not, something's not happening. So that was a good moment for me. That was like, yes, okay. That's, I need to do more of that. And again, it's avoiding just sliding into the old. So what I'm trying to figure out is, I don't know if it's just keep doing that, or are there other tools, or like, I just, because that was a really great moment and it could have escalated into a full-on fight, could have been awful, there could have been tears, there could have been the whole thing. But that's the other thing too that I think is good. Both of us have basically given each other the go-ahead that if someone's too emotional, we leave the room.
Yeah.
Not leave the relationship, we just leave the room. Totally. And it's like, let's all chill. Let's not let it get up here. And usually so far I've found that, you know, and then there's been a couple times where I felt like I really needed to say something or ask the question, but I haven't done it from this like, which is really important for me. I think that's good, because the reason I come from this ask space is because I've waited too long to ask it or too long to say it.
Yes.
So I'm trying to learn like, okay, I'm pissed right now. Why? I don't know why. Well, I do kind of, and I'm just going to say it and remove myself from the situation and deal. And I think that that's a healthier, this is like the opposite of my childhood. My childhood was don't feel, don't rock the boat, don't upset mom. So.
Totally.
Right. So that's where I'm at. So I'm like, how do I, because I know that's the better way to be for both of us. Definitely for me, but I know for both of us, because we're really getting, we're doing a lot better. So.
Yeah. And so your question is?
I don't know. My question is, how do I keep moving in that direction? And when I guess I'm thinking like, are there other tools for interrupting that pattern of, or ways of noticing, like, having like the bell go off in my head saying, okay, watch out, now you're about to head down, you're ignoring something.
Yeah,
you know, so that's where I'm kind of at. I'm like, how do I cultivate more of the alarm bells, let's say, for lack of a better term, of something's going on here, you have a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, that's, again, the authentic Brigitta is not going to do that, so catching it, I think, is maybe what I'm trying to say. How do I catch myself?
Beautiful.
I can see once I've done it, you know, I can see the, okay, yay, I made the right choice. That was great. Okay. I made the, not wrong, but the old pattern choice. Okay. I can forgive myself for that. But there seems, it seems to be kind of willy nilly as to whether I catch it and go the right way or catch it and go the old way.
I think maybe a deeper level of understanding of what's getting triggered here and why. So okay. More deeply understand the pattern, for example.
Okay. I like that.
Work around it, but usually, you know, if we've got, say, a big trigger of an emotion, we know that something within us that is rising, and sometimes if it's the same emotion, the same thing, it's something that's still unresolved in us. And if we actually know, like, I've got a core trigger around abandonment, I've got a core trigger around stuff with other women, I've got a core trigger around him doing something that shows I can't trust him anymore, him not hearing me, or whatever it is. And when you go through them enough times, you know, the triggers, you kind of, okay, this is the same thing that keeps getting activated. So for example, if it manifests as frustration, a little bit deeper, what is this really about for me? Is it that I feel unheard? Do I feel
unheard?
Like, let's unpack that, because I was feeling something about being unheard. What does it mean? Really deeper into it. What is it for you?
I'm just writing that down. That's fantastic. It's like, what's behind it? What's below it?
What's the deeper?
There's just something, because it's just too easy. Just, it's almost, I don't want to say it's surface level, but it kind of feels, because it's so old pattern.
Yeah.
It kind of feels surface level. You're right. So I think it's just, and I think that moment yesterday when I just stopped and breathed, that was like, you know, that was me just going a little deeper and just actually kind of allowing for it and then not really doing anything about it. It just went away on its own. I think you're right about the triggers though too, because there's gonna be certain behaviors or certain even phrases that you hear and it just sets you off, right? I should be able to know kind of exactly what they are, actually.
But let me
a lot of them
a let me ask you now. So say, for example, the frustration that came up yesterday. So we've got the surface emotion. If you a little bit more, either tell me, what was it that he did or said? What was it that triggered it? And if you were to actually go below the frustration of what this is really about for you, like what you're feeling.
Well, I think I was feeling, I didn't want to be doing it, but you know, sometimes you do have to do things you're not in the mood to do. But so there was that. And then underneath that, it's, I don't know if it wasn't not being heard, but I just wasn't able to get my point across somehow. So I was frustrated a little bit with myself for that. His energy was very manic. And then what I noticed is later on, so I was able to kind of move on and let it go. But then I did notice also later, it was, thank you for helping me, was what I got. And I was like, that's what I needed. That's what I needed. I needed the thank you. Okay. I needed the, I appreciate you're doing this for me. Even though I know we're both having a really hard time, I appreciate you doing this. Mm-hmm. It did come, but it came later.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I think there's that, I think the trigger could be also, there's a part of me that's rebellious that I'm like, I'm sick of not, of doing things for other people or putting myself last. Which isn't really true. I mean, it's not really true at all, actually. But it's that feeling, that's the trigger of, okay, I come last. I think that's, and that's a childhood thing.
And so you're right, on a conscious level, even if that event doesn't actually mean that.
That doesn't, yeah.
You're finding something off in you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it, that's the thing. And then that's why it's, I think in the, when I was a child, I would have just done it. And then that's where the eating came out of that, you know. The eating disorders came out of just doing everything for everybody else. And I come last and I can do it with food.
I find actually that emotion of anger for me is very linked to that type of feeling of I'm denying myself in some way. I'm overriding my truth in some way. I'm abandoning myself in some way. I know I'm not really doing what I truly want to be doing in some way. And you feel my body responds in an anger, which gets projected, and frustration could be a version of anger someone else. But really it's like this inner frustration I'm feeling about why aren't I fully honoring myself? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And I think that, I think part of when that feeling starts coming up of, you know, this isn't what I want to be doing right now, or you know, I'm doing this a favor kind of thing. And you can hear the energy all behind what I'm saying. It's like that anger, frustration. I think it's so heavily linked to the, you have to put everyone else first experience, which isn't what's happening now. So I think there's that. It's just being triggered, but it's not reality.
And in that moment, something you could do, you say if this is a recurring thing that's coming up for you guys, when you take yourself off to do your breathing, you could even talk to that part of yourself that's kind of pissed off and be like, listen to that part of yourself. It's like, I'm putting him before me. I'm doing this for him. I really don't want to be doing this. And maybe you have a conversation with that part.
That's great.
I'm hearing you're not really, you feel like you're doing this for him and you're not really getting to honor yourself in this moment. All right. If we were to do this for the next hour, just because, you know, we want to show up and support him, what
comes
this? So it would be your business and stuff for you. What do you want? What do you want that's going to put you first now after we get this done?
Yeah, I like that.
This is a lot with work. Sometimes I put stuff in my calendar and I was committed to it and I had to show up for it. But part of me was like pissed off because I just want to play and have a bath and I don't want to do it. And so I'd say to myself, okay, honey, you're going to sit down for an hour and you're going to do this class. And after that, you get to do whatever you want. What do you want?
Right.
So are you okay with fully showing up for this for the next hour if you know that you get to play for an hour afterwards? And I'd be like, yeah, okay, I can do that.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I do that with myself. There are days where I just feel like I don't want to do the work. I don't want to do it. And then it is that negotiation. It's like that morning asking your feminine, what would you like to do today? You know, and it's like, okay, let's get you work till noon or whatever. And then it's, you can do your thing. Now it's good. Now it's for me doing it with other people.
Yeah. So that it doesn't feel like you're having to deny or give up on yourself in any way. You get to honor this beautiful thing you want to do for your husband while also then getting to do something for yourself.
Yeah. I think that's a great tool. I like that idea of having the conversation. Okay. What's going on? But yeah. which I get, I didn't really do fully, but it was part of what was, I think, happening with the deep breathing. I just stopped there. But I think 5 or 10 more minutes of just saying, okay, what is this? What is it that you need? How can we make this work?
Yeah.
Because the truth of the whole experience was I chose to do it. He didn't even ask me. I thought, oh, I have an hour. Let's do it now. And then, so that's, I think it's going to be really good for me to do that conversation. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, yeah.
I'll ask one question because this keeps coming into my mind and I don't know if this is at all relevant, but in that scenario of the two of you, that in that example, who do you feel is in their feminine and who's in their masculine in that dynamic?
See, this is so interesting because he is so much of both. He is analytical. He is critical mind. He is problem solving. This has been one of the things that we've been in conflict with since he's not been working out of the place. It's like, I don't want that. I want to talk and I don't need your, I want to have your support, but I don't need your opinions on how to fix it. You know, and that was a huge issue. So we've kind of worked through that, which was really good. But in this situation, it was for him. And I think it was, I think he had both rising at the same time.
Okay.
And and then for me, I felt like I was definitely in the male, let's problem solve.
Yeah.
There's
a way we can shift it just a little. So
yeah.
That is what's dropping in for me. Because when you were using language around, you know, I'm doing this for him, and you were kind of the acknowledgement of what you had done. Now that's masculine. Masculine wants to be praised and acknowledged, right?
Yeah.
And it's a doing. And he was in the receiving support, and was, you mentioned, going a little bit manic, so a bit in the emotion, right? So a little bit in the feminine. And I'm just wondering, let me just play in this and see what drops in. If there's a way to shift it so that you're in your feminine when you're supporting him in this way, so perhaps it feels more like it's coming from the heart as a nurturing and supporting him into more of his potential. Does that feel any different?
Yeah. I think what it could be is exactly what Charlotte's working on too, bring in a little play.
Yeah, nice.
Bring in a little play. It's not the end of the world. It's just freaking Instagram, okay? Let's have a laugh. It's going to be fine. I think that might be supportive because, again, and I get it, we take our businesses very seriously. It's important to us. I understand the frustration that he had when he wasn't getting it. And I think that would is an opportunity for me to say, laugh about it. You know, like, okay, you know, guess what? We're not millennials. We don't get this shit. So it's going to be harder for us. You know, it's not intuitive for us. So let's just enjoy it. Just laugh and figure it out. I think play would be good for that.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think the thing for me to watch with that is just bring play in for me. It doesn't have to be for him. He gets to experience his life how he wants to experience it. But my energy coming in would be, I'm going to approach this from playful fun. We can figure it out.
Yeah.
And attitude.
A feminine approach, then I'm coming in as a problem solver to fix this for you, which to you
is
more jarring in your body versus when you're like, oh, okay, well, let's just play an experiment in this space and see what happens. And I'm going to bring a hearted kind of joyful to
it. Yeah. I think that's a great approach for a lot of things with him, actually. I think that's great. Yeah. I really do. I think so, because I think it also just softens the whole, at least one of us is softening, you know, and it also is able, sometimes I'm better than other times, but I think what is good about that too is he can still have his experience.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really how these things work, is I get to have my experience, you get to have yours, we honor it. We hold each other for it. But I think that I'm not holding him when I'm in that other energy. I think the play holds space for him to get as frustrated and agitated as he wants. And he may not go that far with it. It might change his dynamic. I probably will. It would have to.
Yeah, it reminds me, John Wineland often says the feminine is responsible for the energy that's brought. So the masculine is the container and the structure, the feminine is the energy. So masculine's time and space, right? Time and space might be like, okay, we're going to sit down for an hour and do this thing. The energy that unfolds in that space is the feminine's domain. Is she going to bring love? Is she going to bring generosity? Is she going to bring burden? Is she going to bring resentment? Or is she going to bring fun? I don't know. It's actually like, so the, you imagine that as the masculine, the container, and the feminine is, she brings the energy and dictates the energy experience.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, I think that's great. And I think that'd be good for me in all work anyway. You know, anytime I'm launching something, to just drop into that more energy of the feminine, I'll still get the work done. I'm not worried about that. It's just that, yeah, more playful. I like that's true. And it makes sense, actually. That is true. We do. Yeah.
And the final piece I was just going to say, because I was listening to this last night, if we're talking about relationship dynamics and we have a partner that sometimes is going into their feminine or can access both, you know, John was saying the way that we bring our partner more into the masculine, if that's what we're wanting, is we have to out-feminine him. So maybe we've got our partner a little bit in their feminine, a bit in their emotions, a bit all over the place.
Right.
We can't necessarily try to push them or change them into more of their masculine. If that's what we're wanting, we have to out feminine them. Come
awesome.
More into pleasure, play, joy, and that will push them more into their masculine.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense too. Yeah. I like that.
Yes, it's fun. And again, it's playful. It's like, ooh,
what's playful? Yeah.
Use my body to bring me more into my feminine so I can polarize him more into his masculine.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. That's fantastic. That's a lot. That's great. It's a lot I can work on. Thank you.
That was good. Thank you.
Yay,
love it. I love the way these conversations just evolve. All right, Stefania, my love, what's it done?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things, maybe not necessarily a question, I'm just curious to like chat about and like hear your thoughts on. So one was what I posted a bit ago, and it's this idea of like the vulnerability of stepping into your power and being seen, which I just think it's just interesting because I've always felt that I'm in my feminine in a lot of ways, but I realized a week or two ago how it's very controlled. So it's like I will dance a little bit and then I'm like right back in my masculine. So my state is masculine and then I jump into my feminine for different things. And I always thought it was kind of this more equal balance, right? I always just thought in my mind that I was kind of being equally both, but I just realized very much that my safe spot is my masculine, and then I'll jump into play, or I'll jump into dance, or I'll jump into a bath. But whenever I'm like, if like shit hits the fan, like I'm straight in my masculine, because like that's where I'm like safe and like that's where I can solve the problems from. And it's only when I feel safe that I'll then jump into my feminine. So it's this idea, I guess, of what things we've been chatting about in this class, but it's only like kind of hit me now. It's like, well, how can I stay in my feminine as like my baseline and then have the masculine almost be like this revolt, this energy around it, versus being in like this baseline of masculine and then jumping into moments of femininity, but instead like feminine with like the around. And that's, I guess, what I'm just trying to think of and how to kind of mesh those together, because right now it's still like pops like this in a way. And then on the lines of that, I think one reason why I do that is because it is like very, there's something, and it's kind of like what I was explaining, it's like there's something very vulnerable about being so ready but not having the things you want. Or like the example I use, like showing at a party, like super, like you're fully dressed, you're super ready, and you're just like in this state of readiness, but you're not, it's like you don't necessarily have the manifestations around you just yet. So I think that's part of why I'm not like I'll hold back the feminine, because it's like, oh well, I'll be more feminine when I need to be, but that won't necessarily bring the things into my life because I'm withholding the energy from now.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Yeah, everything you've said is beautiful. I completely understand and relate. Let's just go with the first bit first. Can you imagine and if you can describe to me what it would look and feel like and be like to have the feminine be the dominant primary energy you're operating in.
I just see like laughing and joy, like more laugh and joy, whereas I'll have my, like my dominant safety feels like stillness, steadiness. Like, it's funny because even a friend the other day to me who was joking, he's like, I can't imagine you like running or like moving fast. Like he just sees me as like so still because that's like my dominant. And like he, and it's just funny that that's how another masculine is being is seeing me. It's just like this stillness. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I guess I just, so for me, feminine feels like not necessarily, it feels more, it's more of an emotional state, I think, of joy and laughter. Yeah.
Okay. What else? Tell me more about it.
Joy, laughter, and then
movement, I think was one as well.
Yeah. Movement and in, I think just like more flow potentially. Like, I mean, I will dance just at home and stuff, but somehow still I feel more movement wise in my masculine. So I'm not even sure how I could incorporate more feminine feelings in my movement beside when I'm dancing in the moment, but like more just like throughout the day. And I guess being more my feminine would just feel more, it would almost feel like I'm just taking a deep breath and like letting go. Like just relaxed, like in a more no shame, no feelings of I'm not doing enough, whether that's work or reaching out, like taking care of people, or just fully feeling enough would feel more feminine.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. I love that you can, yeah, see it and feel it. So there's almost going to need to be a retraining of your body and your energy. Mm. In terms of what your sort of operating system is through the day, how you move through the day, how you do things. And this probably will need to initially be a really conscious kind of practice because it's, you're not just naturally going to default into the feminine. But if you know, okay, so there's more laughter, there's more play, there's more fun. To some extent, there's more flow and movement. I wonder if it's more of a conscious sort of practice now of drawing on and accessing that energy more frequently through the day. So it's like we've got to get the body more familiar with that state, which might mean, okay, if I've got a day ahead of me and I know I'm typically going to be like this kind of still, maybe I'm working or maybe I'm sitting on my bed or maybe I'm whatever I'm doing. It might even need to be every 30 minutes, a little reminder goes off. Mm. Or you have a little break every hour to do something that calls in the opposite energy and shakes off and calls in the feminine. Or even looking at every single thing you're doing before, say if you are sitting down to work, how can I bring in some feminine lightness, play, fun, movement, flow into this? Do I want to, I don't know, sometimes for me it's like I flip my hair around and I put a top off my shoulder and I play some music while I'm working, so it just brings in a bit more of that energy. But I wonder if it became a conscious and intentional practice to invite her in.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Just like rather than just like once a day dancing, like, and especially because we're working from home now, it's like bringing it just more, because I think that's what it is. It's just my body is so comfortable in this one state and I just need to like wake it up to more the more frequent feminine energy, because I'm right now only accessing that energy in moments where I'm like creating, where I'm like deciding to, but not just being in it from the start.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. It might be like a conscious sort of practice, like, all right, this song, when I play for 5 minutes, it awakens more of that energy. Or like I saw someone on Instagram do it yesterday and I've started doing it just like body shaking. Have you seen anyone do just shaking thing with it?
Yeah.
I'll post a video in the group that I saw someone share about it. And I started doing it actually. And it is such a great way to shake off like tension you hold in your shoulders. Mm. You come off the computer and you're like this. You just do like 5 minutes of just shaking and jumping and literally just moving energy through your body. And I've instantly just felt like soft and juicy and delicious after doing it. And it changed my state in 5 minutes. And so, yeah, there's like a, it's going to be a retraining of your body
into
more of that state. And I think the more you invite her in, the more familiar she'll become.
Yeah.
You'll feel being her.
Yeah. I think so.
But there's a vulnerability. You feel a vulnerability.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I think the reason why I'm not, I don't know. It's like the reason why that state is not the first state is because I guess once you're in that state of pure feminine energy and you feel safe to be in that, it is inviting things in. And so you're not on the lookout necessarily, because in the masculine state, maybe you're more on the lookout and you're like seeing things and then you're like, oh, this is an opportunity for me to be feminine. Let's like go pursue this opportunity in my feminine energy. Whereas when you're just in the feminine energy, there's not as much of that like scanning of what's coming towards you in some, at least that's how it feels for me. Maybe that's what feels more vulnerable about it.
Interesting. So this reminds me of what we were talking about in one of our classes on coming into the heart energy. And I think this is important for your feminine, is that it doesn't, I'm hearing something about she's almost so open. And it feels like there's less elements of control maybe around what's going to come in and what's going to happen.
Yeah, maybe. Or just, it's just like, maybe it feels like anything could just, I don't know. Just somehow it feels more like in my shoulders, it just feels more vulnerable to just like, it's not safe enough to just be feminine. Something that doesn't just feel safe enough just to be in my feminine state only. It's like, it's safe to be my masculine. And once I know a situation is safe, then I can like go into my feminine, but just to purely operate from feminine feels very vulnerable or, and I guess, and maybe it's the practice, like maybe once I start practicing, like setting reminders to myself almost to just be in feminine, it's going to become easier. But I guess there's an element that feels that my safe spot's always going to be like the mat. Like if you know when you are in a situation, all of a sudden you start to panic and you just go to your natural tendencies. I always feel like my natural tendencies will always just like go back to that masculine, like, which I don't know, maybe that's just how it will be. I don't know. But I guess for me, then it's hard to imagine the feminine just like fully being there. So maybe that's a boundary thing too, where it's like, I'm getting,
But it's also, we've got to look at what is this feeling. You've mentioned unsafety, vulnerable, and panic.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can feel into it and tell me a little bit more, but what that about that unsafety, that unsafe feeling?
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's, and I'm doing some therapy as well on the side, and I'm wondering if it's just from my childhood where as it, oh, sorry, one second, my brother's calling me. Sorry, guys. I wonder if it's just like coming from my childhood where it's, I mean, as a kid, it was very unsafe. And like, I had to be on the lookout for my mom and taking care of her with her drug issues and all these things. And so I think it's just rewiring my body to realize like now it is safe and I don't need to be in that state. And, but it's literally a rewiring of the body because my body is so stuck to being in that state of lookout.
Yeah.
Or state of like observing what's happening around, so it's like always on edge.
Fully. So the feeling of safety is probably still really important. I think as a woman, feeling safe in our bodies and in ourselves is incredibly important, but I think it's about finding a new way to create that feeling of safety for you that doesn't mean you have to default to a tense kind of fight or flight panic response. If you were to just feel into what your feminine, if you would explore this idea of coming more deeply into your feminine, living more frequently in her energy and noticing kind of what that brings up, whether that feels vulnerable or unsafe, what would she need to feel safe? What does she need in place for her?
I think almost like the word slowness comes to mind, because then it's, you can be in your feminine, but if you're moving slow, things will, it's, you'll have the time to discern what's coming your way versus if you're in your feminine, things are coming fast. And it's almost like the boundaries aren't there. And then you might come to situations that don't feel safe, maybe. So like letting myself be my feminine, but also slowness is what feels safe to me, potentially.
Almost what you're saying is it feels like things might come at you and come at you so fast that you won't be able to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then when I'm in my masculine, I can like stop it from coming. But if I'm in my feminine and things come fast, then there's no ability to stop it.
So what would it look like to be in your feminine and to be able to stop it, or to be able to determine what comes in and out and how fast it comes?
Just like somehow being more grounded, I guess, in almost like pulling the masculine part of me like more inwards, but then like letting the feminine kind of like be the outside part. Whereas I'm imagining it as I'm masculine, then I jump into the feminine, but almost if I could have like the masculine be like the center piece, like grounded deep, but then feminine like being everything powerfully around it, almost. It's like, it's just a way to think of it, I guess, and trying then, I mean, it helps to have these visualizations because then it's almost like you can try to shift your energy in that way, but that's what it would feel safe, I guess.
Yeah, because as well, I'm sort of sensing as we're tapping into your feminine, she feels a little bit, maybe it feels a little bit flighty and up here versus when it's really grounded and embodied.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a real clarity to it, even though you're very open and we're, you know, we're really connected into the body, and when the body's saying this doesn't feel good, this doesn't feel right, no. And there's that fierce, powerful feminine side to you as well. Which,
yeah, yeah.
What comes in and out.
Yeah.
An image of like, imagine a queen or an empress is maybe riding in her carriage or walking through the world, whatever it is, and she has her soldiers around her with their shield.
I like that image. Yeah,
this is because they can see how powerful and magnetic and amazing she is and what she attract, and so she has this beautiful, these masculine soldiers around shields in determining what comes in and out and protecting her.
Yeah, I like that image a lot. Yeah, and it's, I think, knowing that I don't have to, whatever it is like in life that comes my way, which I do know this, but I guess it feels safer to say to discern things in my masculine than it does in my feminine, because my feminine I just maybe feel too open. So maybe that's where that image, and then just playing more with boundaries, which I've been thinking a lot about the past 2 weeks and just starting to think about it, has shifted so many things. So like that's definitely something I want to look more into, will help me feel more safe being as a feminine as my natural state.
And almost as though you can be in your feminine and now you consciously draw on your masculine.
Yeah, exactly. The opposite.
Yeah. So you can still draw on him, and you can draw on that part of yourself where you might want to call on some of those patterns that you've used in the past to support you, but your feminine calls on that part of you to help.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just like, yeah, trying to figure out how to integrate them more. Yeah. And it's funny, because at the beginning of the class, we talked a lot about this, but it didn't hit me until now at the end. So it's funny how these things take sometimes a couple months to like fully, I'm sure like in a few months too, like things we talked about a few weeks ago, like we'll finally like clarify in a new way. So
it's self-trust as well.
Yeah.
Means if we aren't still trusting ourselves enough to fully honor ourselves and do what it's going to take to honor ourselves, if we don't really trust our ability to fully stand up for our no and our boundaries, of course we'll feel feminine.
Yeah. And maybe because for so long I was so closed, I'm scared to close again. So in my feminine, I think about 4 or 5 years ago when I started becoming more open and more my feminine, I never like crossed any of my boundaries too much, but I did become very open emotionally with everyone in my life and giving and open, and created tons of deep, deep friendships and just created so much openness that I think and the reason because of that is because I'd been told from other people and even knew myself how closed I was before, and I don't want to be closed again. So now I'm at the point of where, okay, I'm open, but how do I have those loving like soldiers around me, or those loving boundaries around me? Because I don't need to close and go back to how I used to be, but I also don't want to be so open where you get depleted and tired and you don't honor your own boundaries. So it's like that next level of womanhood, of like owning yourself in that way, that I feel I'm finally realizing that I can, like, I have the right to do that.
Yes. And the more into your feminine, into your body, the more clearly you'll be able to hear the inner warning signs when they go off, of like, we need to bring in one of these soldiers and put in a boundary.
Yeah, I like that. Bring in the soldier. I love that, actually, though. I'm totally going to think of it that way. Like, bring in one of the soldiers. Yeah.
And almost you might be in your feminine being like, okay, what do we need right now? Do we need the soldier where I stand up and speak my truth, or where I put in a boundary?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I really like that idea. And then it's like, yeah, because then you can be your, because that's the thing, is like, I do feel I'm very much in my feminine, but it's like only when I'm alone in my room, or like when I can be safe. And it's hard for me to do it like in the open world, because I feel that I can't put those boundaries in place. So if I can just bring those soldiers with me to the open world and everywhere else, then I can just continue being the feminine I already know I am and can be, but I don't have to like hold it back anymore.
Yeah, because you might be like, all right, I'm going to practice walking down the street in my feminine today. And I might like be a little bit more in my hips, my back a bit more open, a smile on my face. And that might feel really vulnerable. But yeah, this beautiful ring of soldiers around you, which is just you and your energetic boundary, really.
Yeah.
Being able to hold off unwanted energy, knowing you have the power and the ability to say no, or close off to an energy if it doesn't feel supportive.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially as you start navigating dating and things like this, because I think one of my fears is like with dating, I don't like to move fast. And I always feel like guys are trying to move faster than I want to. So then I just close immediately because it just feels too much for me. But how can I stay open with those boundaries? And obviously some people are going to want to move faster than I'm going to want to move, and that's fine. And then we're not a fit. But rather than just assume, like, rather than just close from the start because I think they're going to want to move faster than I want to move, how can I just honor my feminine self, but with the boundary, so it, I don't know how to explain it, but so it's just more integrated along the way.
And so you'll notice if you start dating and you notice them starting to move fast, this is what we've talked about, some of the other women too, then off comes the trigger in your body, I'm going to close now because I feel unsafe. One option. Yeah. Other option is maybe I'll just express my truth here and be like, hey, this is feeling like it's moving a little fast for me. Can we just slow it down a bit?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just being honest. Yeah.
You can still say open, but as long as you're continuously expressing what feels good and right to you. So like we said with the masculine, so the masculine knows what pace to move at with you, what you're needing, how strong to come on and how not, because he'll sense closure as she's not interested.
Yeah.
But, you know what, I'm really enjoying getting to know you, but this is just moving a little fast. Can we just...
Yeah. And then honoring myself, if that's okay, that's how it feels for me.
100%. And if he's aware, respect that and honor
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so it's been this course has been so magical. I'm so happy we had it during COVID, because it was so nice to be able to do all these type of conversations during this time. And it's just been so many realizations and just new things in the past like few weeks. And I'm just excited to see what's going to come in the next 2 months.
Yeah. Even for me leading it has been such a beautiful journey. I've gained so much from each of you and had beautiful realizations, and it's shifted a lot for me. So it's been a beautiful container. I've loved it. So I'd love to hear how everyone's feeling as we're completing. Just like give me a word or a couple of words. I'll just unmute everyone and you can all let me know. How are you feeling as we're wrapping up the call today?
I feel like I'm gonna miss you guys.
Yeah, I feel that way as well.
Yeah, I really like the conversation we had like for this 3 months, is it? I just couldn't believe it's going to be an end.
Yeah.
I think I've been learning a lot and learning to discover myself, learning to be more like who I am and also embrace that part of me. Yeah.
I'm going to keep our Facebook group active so you can all still at different points be popping in and sharing and connecting and asking questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I feel the same way, Kathy. Actually, I feel like, oh my God, I can't believe this is coming to an end. I'm going to miss you guys, but we will keep in touch. You know, we will. But I'm feeling after this call really like I actually have a clear path now. You know, like the steps, like stop, breathe, ask the question, have the conversations. And here's sort of like, here's the way. You know, and I think too, the idea of just bringing play into pretty much everything that I do. And Stefania, it really rang true for me what you were saying was before this program, I was only safe alone in my feminine energy. And through this is becoming, I'm coming out more and I'm getting the, like I just said, like I have a path now. This is how she's can continue and create those boundaries and create the trust. But yeah, it's been amazing. It's just been incredible. This whole, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Charlotte, how are you feeling?
Yeah, good. Well, just to echo the others, it's been so powerful. Like what I thought I was going to get out of 3 months has been completely surpassed. And it's been kind of every single month, it's been really interesting doing those monthly reflections. Then you go, oh my goodness me, what happened this month? And yes, it is a real, you have to sometimes work through, you have the high times and you got to work through the low times, but it's all really just oscillating, still getting you up. You just have to go through those dips and the things to really realize what's you. But I think the words that are really resonating with me are, it's just all about this feminine energy and today and playing in that for me, not only in relationships, but what Brigitte said about my business. And I think being more, obviously, as I said before, unashamedly me, but being really authentic in who I'm being and dancing in it rather than taking myself really seriously, which is just gets you stuck and it just freezes you. So I think it's like that movement side and just feeling into me and the slowing down so I can receive, really. And you don't have to have a plan of what you're going to receive. What's this really shown me in 3 months that you can really receive? Doesn't receive what you need to receive, but you have to create the space to receive and be in the family to receive.
Yeah, to receive, yeah.
So no, it's been really powerful, but yeah, no, feminine is like the main.
You. Delicious. Stefania, how are you feeling?
I think I've never felt more in tune with my desires, like just the without any dimming of anything. And I think that's this course, and then also because we did this course during time of such stillness, it's just the desires that I have, like, and no shame, kind of like what Charlotte mentioned earlier as well about wanting the, I think you mentioned around wanting a relationship or something, and it's the same for me. Like I think I used to feel some shame or some, I just wasn't owning that desire. And this is the first time where I just feel everything I want in my life. It's just very clear. Like, yeah, that's what I want. Sure. Like it's going to happen at some point, but there's no dimming of the desires right now. And that just feels so good to not dim what I want.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, so good. Thank you, beautiful women. Thank you for all of your shares.
Thank you.
Today.
Yeah, thank you everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, our final bonus class, I'm just confirming the date of that and I'll let you know. It'll probably be another 2 weeks from now on the Monday again, but I'm gonna stay I'll stay pretty active in our group up until the end of June. So if you all feel to do like a June video, we can do another check-in in June, share at the start of the month, yeah, what your intentions are for the month ahead and just any reflections. And yeah, I'll still be active in there, just facilitating conversations and supporting you all until the end of that month. And then the group will still be there too for you to check in at any time.
Yay.
All right, loves. Have a beautiful
rest. All right. See you guys later.
You too. Bye-bye. See you guys later. Love you.
Bye. Bye-bye.